Continuing the description of the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Prita Maharaj was about to perform his 100th yajna, Shata Ashwamedha yajna, and Indra was very much afraid that if he completed this 100th yajna, that he may dethrone Indra and take over Indra's post as the king of Swargaloka. So he was worried about that. So he disguises himself as a sannyasi and steals a sacrificial horse. While Maharaj Prithu, this is called stealing, Indra steals a sacrificial horse. Indra Ashwachur. Ashwa means horse. Indra Ashwachur Leela. Thus, while Maharaj Prithu was performing the last of his 100 Ashwamedha yajnas, Indra appeared there invisibly and stole the sacrificial horse. The great sage Atri could see Indra fleeing through outer space, so he told Prithu Maharaj's son about the theft. That son of Prithu Maharaj picked up his bow and gave a chase to the king of heaven. He angrily challenged that king, Indra, by saying, "Wait, wait!" When Prithu's son saw that Indra was wearing the saffron dress of a sannyasi and had ashes smeared on his body and topknot on his head, he stopped releasing his arrows. In other words, Indra came there invisibly and stole the horse. The horse just vanished. Invisible, because the demigods have this power to change their form at will. Even Rakshas have that power. So now he became a sannyasi because he thought, this king will not use violence against the sannyasi. So it worked. The prince, Prithu's son, returned to the Yajnashala. Atri Muni said, "Kill the king of heaven, for he has become the worst of demigods by stopping your father's sacrifice." Again, Prithu's son, the prince, attacked Indra. This time, Indra fearfully let go of the sacrificial horse, gave up his bogus sannyasi dress. So he was running away with his horse, and then when he's about to be attacked, he became a sannyasi. So this prince became bewildered and returned without the horse and without killing Indra. Now he was in hot pursuit again. So the prince brought back the horse, and the sages were impressed with his prowess in challenging Indra. It wasn't much of a fight, he ran away. And he got the name Vijit Ashwa. Very interesting, clever name they gave him. Vijit means conquers, and Ashwa means horse. One who conquered the horse. One who won the horse, Vijit Ashwa. Vijitashva. Indra wasn't through yet. So then he used a mystic power and covered the entire Yajnashala with darkness. The idea is Indra wanted to stop this 100th yajna somehow or other. First take the horse, so there's no Ashwamedha yajna without a horse. Somehow they got the horse back. So then he covered it with such a darkness no one could see the ghee or the fire or anybody. And everybody became confused. Then Indra again came and he stole the horse. And again the son chased after him. So again the prince chased after him. Now he's again disguised as sannyasi. And he had a skull on the end of his staff. This Vijitashva was reluctant to attack the, quote, saintly person, so-called, Indra, but the sage Atri Muni insisted, So he put an arrow on his bowstring and pulled back the bow angrily. So what did Indra do? He let go of the horse and became invisible. So you can't hit it. It's impossible to hit or strike an invisible target. Again and again, Indra attempted to steal King Prithu's sacrificial horse. And while doing so, he originated various false sannyas orders. So he started all kinds of false sannyasi paramparas, including a group that goes about naked, and others who call themselves Kapalika. Kapal means skull. They carry a skull and they eat their meals and drink their water out of a skull. Whatever forms Indra assumed should be recognized as symbols of atheistic philosophy. And although they may nowadays be very much appreciated by sinful men, they're bogus religionists. Finally, Prithu himself picked up his bow and arrow to kill Indra for introducing so many bogus sannyas orders. When the priests at the yagya saw Prithu so enraged that he was going to kill Indra, they said, "Look, wait a minute. They said, listen, don't kill Indra because only animals are allowed to be killed for this sacrifice, not humans." Listen, Prithu, by trying to stop your sacrifice, Indra has already diminished his power. We will use mantras and summon Indra to come here. And then you can cast your enemy into the sacrificial fire. Interesting, I changed her tune. The yagya priests or yagya brahmins, they angrily called Indra. And they're about to pour the oblations of ghee into the fire, chanting the mantras to bring Indra down there and throw him in the fire. And Brahma came there. It's quite a dramatic event, actually. Brahma came there and said, listen, boys, you're getting a little too wild here. You know, Indra is one of the most powerful servants of God. And what are you trying to do by this yoga? You're trying to satisfy the demigods, including Indra. But they're actually, all the demigods are part and parcel of Indra. He's a chief demigod. So how can you kill him, the king of heaven? You guys crazy? Now, of course, Indra has already introduced many false orders of sannyas to try to stop Prithu's sacrifice. If you oppose Indra any further, he will continue to misuse his power and introduce even more bogus systems of religion than he already has with all these fake sannyasis. So my dear Brahmins, I request that Prithu Maharaj only does 99 horse sacrifices. Leave it at that. Of course, you know, they were working for Prithu, so the priests really wanted to finish off this yagya and get their paycheck. So they wanted that happiness to do 100 yagyas also. Then Brahma addressed Prithu. Listen, Prithu, you're a great devotee. You know about Muktipat. What's the purpose of all these yagyas anyway? Indra is not different from you in the sense that you're both part and parcel of God. So don't become angry with Indra. Actually see this stopping of your sacrifices as an arrangement of God. If something happens by the arrangement of God, the more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkness regions of materialistic thinking. And what is the purpose of yourself anyway? Because Indra created all these irreligious principles, they'll become mothers of so many unwanted pseudo religions. So stop your sacrifices immediately. Prithu accepted the advice of Brahma and completed the yajna by taking Avavritya bath. Meanwhile, Vishnu was actually satisfied with Prita's performance of 99 Ashwamedha yajnas, and he himself appeared personally in the yajna, along with King Indra, and all the demigods, great sages, and Nanda and Sunanda. Vishnu said, "Listen, Prita, Indra disturbed your yajna, but now he's begging you, he's here with me, begging you for forgiveness. Excuse him. One who is intelligent becomes eager to help others. So he's the best human. Always remember that the material body is different from the Atma. Such persons that are Atmaramas, self-realized, never do malice towards another person. A devotee connected with me in a relationship of intense friendship and affection, and was liberated from material contamination, he's fully satisfied within himself. He never becomes agitated by material happiness and distress. Because of perfect knowledge, he's always seeing everything equally. Keep yourself equipoised. Don't get excited. Do your duties as a king and treat everyone equally. If you protect your subjects, according to the Acharya teachings, they will become happy and they will love you without reservation. Soon, you will get the good fortune of meeting the four Kumaras. I am pleased with your saintly qualities. Ask for a benediction." Indra heard Vishnu's speech. He became ashamed to think of his abominable acts. He repentantly fell down to Maharaj's Prita's feet. The Vaishnav, compassionate Prita, gave up his anger, so he picked up Indra immediately, embraced him with great love. Prita worshipped Vishnu, and as he did so, his ecstasy increased. The Lord was preparing to leave, but he didn't do so immediately because he was attached to the pure behavior of his devotee, Prita. Prita's eyes were full of tears, and his voice faltering due to ecstasy. As a consequence, he couldn't see the Lord very clearly. I couldn't even speak properly. So within his heart, he just embraced the Lord while standing before the Supreme Lord Vishnu with folded hands. Somehow Vishnu, although he never touches the earth planet, he's always floating in the air or standing on Garuda. He was pleased with this earthly king, Prita. So he touched the ground with his feet, which means he touched the ground of his empire, first time ever. But he was a little bit shaky, so he took support from Garuda, because he never stood on the earth before. And knowing this and understanding this affectionate display of his Lord, Prita became ecstatic. And he prayed, "Oh, my dear Lord Vishnu, you can give all benedictions upon your worshippers. Why should anyone who's learned ask for any benefit that bewildered souls enjoy? Or who wants to even have liberation into your existence? I want to have the benediction to have millions of ears to hear your glories from pure devotees. My Lord, if one hears your glories from pure devotees, he'll never want to leave that association. May I always serve your lotus feet like your goddess Lakshmi. I'm afraid that I may argue with Lakshmi because she's also serving your lotus feet. Please let me be free from this competitive spirit. If Lakshmi becomes angry with me for intruding upon her service of massaging your feet, I hope you will support me, since you are inclined to help the poor. Even if Lakshmi goes away due to anger, I think there is no harm, because you are self-sufficient, so you can easily do without her. I am your unalloyed devotee, my lord. But it's very bewildering. They are trying to offer me facilities for material enjoyment. Those people have forgotten their position. It's all right. Due to material happiness in terms of society, friendship, and love. But pure devotees, they don't care about material benedictions. All I ask you, my Lord, my Father, you give me whatever you think is best. Please, with Prita Maharaj, he didn't ask for material things. He said, my dear King Prithu, may you always be blessed with always engaging in my service. You should always be careful to execute my orders. For anyone who follows my orders will always meet with good fortune. Prita worship all the sages, demigods, and other living entities at his sacrificial yajna with sweet words and lots of money. Finally, Prita again worshiped Vishnu with great respect. Vishnu left and went back to Vaikuntha. After the Lord's departure, Prithu offered his obeisances and returned to his capital, which was lavishly decorated to receive him. All over the city there was sandalwood and a guru-scented water and unbroken fruit, flowers, and grains and minerals and lamps, ghee lamps everywhere, creating auspicity to greet the king. There were banana trees and betel nut branches at every crossing. As the king entered the city gate, there were many beautiful virgin girls decorated with costly ornaments to greet him. The priests chanted Vedic mantras and conch shells and drums and reciters, and everybody was there to welcome him. And he blessed everyone according to their desires. The king was affected somewhat, but he continued to rule the earth, and everyone was happy. He resided in the land between the Ganga and the Jamuna, and due to his incomparable opulence, it appeared as if he was enjoying his destined fortune. Sometime later on, King Prithu began to perform a great sacrifice, which all the rishis, demigods, and saintly kings assembled. After having worshipped all the respectable guests according to their respective positions, when Prithu stood up in the midst of the assembly, it appears that the full moon had risen among the stars. Prithu's body was tall and sturdy, fair complexion, brilliant eyes and beautifully set teeth and a smiling face, black hair fine and curly, auspicious lines in his neck, like those of a conch shell. Initiated into the performance of the yajna, Prithu put on his black deer skin to properly attire himself. He glanced over the assembled persons in a grave voice. He addressed them all. O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be yours. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, I've been appointed the king of this planet. And I think that by the proper execution of my duties, I will be able to attain the supreme goal of my life. Any king who does not engage his subjects in varnashram dharma, but simply takes taxes, will suffer for his sins. Your duty, please perform your duties and worship the Lord in your heart, so you'll become benefited after life. After death, the result of action is shared equally by its doer, director, and supporter. By serving the Lord, everyone can become happy and cleansed. My dear citizens, you should enthusiastically serve the Lord with your body, mind, and words, and whatever you do with your work. God or Vishnu is pleased with devotees who follow in his footsteps by engaging in service of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas who are always dear to him. He eats those who anyone who offers through the sacrificial fire will please the Lord, but he especially eats through the mouths of the Brahmanas and pure devotees. All respectable persons, please, I beg to receive your blessings, so I may carry upon my crown the dust from the feet of such Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. By worshipping them, we will acquire their good qualities. Then the members of the assembly said, my dear king, the very conclusion that one can conquer heaven as a result of the activities of a good son is practically demonstrated by you. The most sinful King Vena has been delivered from the darkest regions of hell by you. His son, Justice Hiranyakashipu, had formerly been rescued by his son, Prahlad. You are preaching Bhagavan Mahima, and we're very fortunate to live under your protection. You've opened our eyes today and showed us the way to cross the ocean of birth and death. At that moment, the four Kumaras arrived there. They appeared as effulgent as the sun. Prithu immediately stood up with folded hands along with his ministers. Then, with great respect, the four Kumaras took their seats upon a golden throne, one throne for all four, economical. And thus they appeared just like the blazing fire on an altar of sacrifice. Prithu bowed down to these child sages, washed their feet, and sprinkled the water over his head to show the proper behavior, how to receive a spiritually advanced personality. Then with all gentleness and humility, the king addressed the four sages.